But right now we bring you our Friday profile. He made this undertaking on the radio. You agreed when you had called in. And here you are, radio and TV personality. Jeremy Mansfield.
No longer.
What do we call you? Property mogul now?
No. Thank goodness. No longer in media.
Really?
25 years. It's enough.
You sound so relieved to be out of it.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think you realize the stress that you're under when you are in this environment until you get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am happier now out of the media environment than I've ever been in my life.
Wow.
Maybe one day you'll find that.
Maybe. You were giving me ideas here and I'm thinking, what? So talk to me about that stress. Because I often say that we must be crazy. You know, people who do this kind of job, there's a side, we must be insane in one way or another, because we put ourselves on a public platform, our homework gets marked in public, and then on top of that, we live on this contract-to-contract basis.
Yeah, I think the time that I was in media was a little bit different, because we had just embarked on a very new and very bold project within this company called Prime Media at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just the stress of being in the public eye and also having all of the criticism thrown at you and having to deal with that. I was in a position where Prime Media had four radio stations,
mm-hmm.
which they still have, 702, Cape Talk, 94.7 and KFM.
Mm-hmm.
And my show on 94.7 was generating 52% of the income of all four radio stations. I was doing 25% of the turnover of Prime Media Limited, which was a huge group at the time. So there was a massive amount of pressure on me to perform, because if I sneezed, the entire company got a cold.
Yeah.
So that was a massive amount of pressure. And I dealt with that for 11 years. And then decided that's it. Time to move on.
Wasn't it 13?
Well, it's 947. I'd been.
Or the last two were just really different.
97. I don't even remember, to be honest. All I know is that I went into radio to go and have fun. And by the end of it, it was becoming more and more corporate. And it was. It wasn't the fun that I envisaged when I started in radio in 1985.
At Capital Radio.
Yeah.
So it became very adult very quickly.
Exactly. and you know what? You guys can be the adults now. I'm retired.
Well, you might be retired from radio, but you're going for a bigger challenge. Earlier in this year, you posted on Facebook, you announced on social media that you plan to run for the DA in the 2019 elections. You put your hand up.
I put my hand up because I've been badgered for about the last 2 years by an old school friend of mine, Ross Burden, who's a DA MP. And he eventually turned around to me in December and said, look, you've got to put your hand up or just put it down, and because we need to know. And I said, okay, fine, then I'll go for it. So yes, I have made myself available to the party. What they decide to do with me is up to them.
Mm.
But I put myself in the public space and said, yeah, I'm prepared to.
So what's been the extent of your involvement? Are you at branch level?
No, I've been working with them on various things. But it's, you've got to go, as anybody who goes into politics in a party, you've got to go through the whole selection process, and that still has to happen ahead of the.
But a card carrying member.
I'm a card carrying member of the DA.
Yes.
A proud card carrying member.
So were you surprised by the reaction that you got to that announcement?
No.
Because it was mixed. You weren't surprised.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I've been in media for 25 years. I'm not surprised at anything.
You know the trolls.
Yeah, Yeah. Exactly. Things come out. People accuse you of all sorts of things. I was accused of wife beating and all sorts of things.
Yes.
I've dealt with it. Mm. I've dealt with that for many, many years. I can.
But politics is a dirty and nasty game, Jeremy. Why would anybody want to? I don't understand it. And I think the mood across the world, my sense is that it's changing, that we no longer see politics as a vehicle through which we can achieve the hopes of a nation, that we need a very strong, perhaps a civil service and an involved citizenry.
And that's why I'm prepared to go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are going to bitch and moan about what's happening in the country and you haven't voted or put your hand up, then you don't deserve to bitch and moan.
What do you bring to the table? Let's have a little moment where you pitch to us what you're bringing to the table.
I think what I bring to the table is a fair amount of experience in the communication sector, which I would be able to assist in.
Mm-hmm.
I have also, every single step of my way through my media career, I fought and managed to link everything I did to some form of charity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is an important aspect when you're looking at, especially when you're looking at a country like South Africa right now. We're in decline. And it will take charitable attitudes and fortitude to actually pull through this time and make sure that we can move forward. I'm happy to pay my taxes if I see that people who are less fortunate than me are in a position where they're being uplifted.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not happening, I have serious problems about paying my taxes. I have serious problems about paying my taxes to fund motorcades, blue lights. I would like to drive through Langa and drive through Soweto, parts of Soweto, and see upliftment happening.
Right.
As a result of my tax money.
And that's part of the motivation to get involved. Okay. So it's a far cry from the days of, because you were in a band at some point, right?
We formed a band once again for
charity.
Once again for charity.
Ah.
It was when Westlife broke up, mm-hmm. and we decided to form a band called Eastlife. And we went out and we released the CD, mm. and we did two charity gigs out at Carnival City, sold them out, mm. and all of that money went to charity. So it's one of those things. Everything I used to do when I was on Capital, when I was on 702, and when I was on 94.7, every single thing that we did on air, I made sure we linked it to some charity in some form or another. And I'm still very involved with charities. I mean, I still
do. You consulted quite a few.
I still do work with the Mandela Foundation. I've done work with the Cathrada Foundation, with the Arch, with Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a honorary member of the National SPCA. I do work with community-led animal welfare, which does wonderful work here in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And Four Paws, which is an Austrian-based NGO, which does work around the world. We actually went into Libya
mm-hmm.
to Gaddafi's zoo 2 weeks after he was assassinated to see what we could do there. So I'm still very involved in charity, and I will continue to be, because I think that's my nature. I come from the Eastern Cape. I'm a Xhosa boy.
From Grahamstown.
And we've got that sense of I wouldn't say Ubuntu, because I think Ubuntu has been used and overutilized in this country, and it's not actually working right now, to be honest. It's just that sense.
That's the sense. All right, let's take a break. My guest is Jeremy Mansfield, and he's our Friday profile today. Many of you will remember him from his very successful 947 Breakfast Show, The Rude Awakening. awakening, but as he says, very, very happy to be out of the media world. But he has political ambitions, and let's see what happens between now and 2019. He's put his hand up for the Democratic Alliance, prepared, in fact, to be an office bearer for the DA come 2019. So what are your questions? 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. Did he sell it? Khomotso is convinced that you did.
7 years, I haven't done one of those.
Levi Makwala says, is that Jeremy Mansfield? Ask him what he was thinking coming to the studio naked. Is there such?
No, I did a photo shoot naked once.
Oh, that's yes. Was it the Marie Claire naked issue?
No, I did one for a... I've released four CDs, and I did one for one of the CDs, Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I was naked in that one.
Right.
A lot of women got very excited. So did quite a few men, actually.
So, Levi, that answers that question.
Yeah.
But you also had a Helen Ziller-type moment when you posted about the immigrants heading to Europe.
Yeah, I did. And you know what? I think everyone gets so uptight about stuff. And I, as I said, when I came back on that posting, I just said, you know what? If you don't like what I'm saying...
Mm-hmm.
Duck. Get out. Don't visit the Facebook page. It was the same as when I started on radio.
Mm-hmm.
People hated me. But part of my job was to actually blow off a certain audience that the company didn't want because they weren't attractive to the advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lambasted for a year. My first year on air at Highfield, when I moved from 702 to Highfield, I was lambasted in the media.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my job. My job was to blow off that audience and attract the audience that the advertisers actually wanted.
Yes.
We're talking about secrets within the company.
I know. I was
here.
About to say shh.
No. There was no shh. I don't have to shh now. Omar can come in here and shh me out. But that was the purpose of that show,
mm-hmm.
was to actually blow off the audience that advertisers didn't want and attract the audience that they did.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was my mandate. And that was from the board. And mm-hmm. that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it very successfully. And I made a lot of money for this company. I also did very well out of it as well. I won't deny that. But the thing is that people don't understand I'm going to talk my mind. I'm that sort of person.
Yeah.
I will say what I feel. And if you don't like it, you know what, then...
And if it's on the wrong side of the politics of the day?
Well, then shit happens.
And you came back to say that that you will change religions.
No, I never said that.
You never said that?
No, never, ever. Never, ever.
So was that incorrect report?
That's absolutely incorrect report.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Jeremy, one other thing that I think people gravitated to you for was how open you were in sharing your battle with cancer.
Mm.
And that was, it really does touch the heart. People would come up to you and share stories about a family member or their own journeys because you were quite open with your own battle.
Mm. Yeah, it was a difficult battle. It was a hard battle. What was harder actually was that sharing, because people come up to you and they start sharing stuff.
So was it triggering?
Yeah, and you want to go, guys, you know what?
I've got my own stuff.
I've got my own stuff to deal with. Mm. Yeah, let's just move on.
Mm.
But you can't do that, especially if you're in a public space. And that's the reason why I'm very glad that I'm no longer in a public space. Because people can come up to me and try and share something, and I can say to them, you know, I'm not on radio anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have a private life, and I'm very happy with that private life.
Yes,
which I am.
How has that then changed just your approach to how you live your life? Because you shared, I think, the stuff that it put us in the minds and the hearts of people who are going through treatment. That you talk about the moment of finding out and the shift in thinking that you immediately have to do, which is then about getting well, about doing something, about getting well.
Yeah, I think what happens is that when you are faced with something like that, you have to make a decision, and you either decide to move on
mm-hmm.
or retract. And there is a there's a mind shift that happens, and you've got to move with that. And I think that happens at a whole, there are a whole load of things in life where you hit a crossroads and you've right. got to make a decision and say left or right.
Mm-hmm.
My father once said to me that if you're ever faced with a decision and you've got various options, take the hardest option because that's generally the right one. And it's something that I've
always lived
born in mind the whole time. It is, you know, take the harder option.
Yeah.
It's generally the right one.
Mm. I'll try and remember that one because always we're looking for the easier way.
Exactly.
Out.
Yeah.
The one with the least resistance.
Yeah.
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 And it doesn't necessarily work that way. So how's your health been since then?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I'm not a doctor. So yeah, no, feel good.
Right. Let's go to Tony calling from Four Ways. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
All right, thanks. There's something that Jeremy must remember when you arranged the cleaning of the penguins with SAA accommodation, I think 120 people, all done in a morning show.
Yeah, when the oil slick hit Cape Town and we phoned SAA and we phoned at that time Southern Suns, now Tsoho.
Yes.
And we arranged for everyone to get down to Cape Town to go and clean the penguins. It was a wonderful experience. It really was. And that's the sort of thing, you know, that happens on off the cuff, and you've got to run with stuff like that. And that's what we did. We did a hell of a lot of that sort of stuff around various charities, whether they were animals or children or old age charities or whether they were hospices. I remember getting dressed up in drag to go out to a club in the East Rand to raise money for an AIDS hospice. So it's what, you know what, Tony, when you're in, I've always said if you come into this, if you're born into this world and you leave it and you haven't made a difference, you didn't deserve to be here in the first place, to be honest. And I do believe that through the medium that I was very fortunate to be part of, that I was able to make a difference in a lot of ways. And that was part of my job, to
right.
make a difference.
Mm, so it stands out for you, Tony.
Yeah, I've worked out what how incredible radio is. What a medium it is. Yeah.
Very powerful indeed. Tony, thank you so much for your call, taking you back down memory lane, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Kevin in Harties, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very good, and you?
Good, and you, thanks. Jeremy, I just want to say something. There are very few people of your caliber have done what you've achieved and are done for everybody else. You've always put everybody else first, and you came second. And let me tell you something, my mate. I happened to, at the Amstel draft launch many, many, many years ago when I was in the restaurant trade, I had the privilege of meeting you. And let me tell you something, mate. I wish you many, many, many happy years of wealth, happiness, because you are an absolute scholar and a gentleman, young man. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
It's Kevin in Hartebeespoort. It's a couple of SMSs. One says from Vicky, please ask Jeremy, where's Simpiwe?
Yo. You see, that Azania was one of the things that I learned from John Burks.
Mm.
I have two mentors in radio. One of them was from Capital Radio, Kevin Savage, and he taught me music radio. And I then started at 702. When I started at 702, I started in sport.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at Supersport, and Gary Bailey came to me and said, look, he needs to move to afternoon sport because of his family arrangements. And would I be prepared to do morning sport on John Burks's show? And I said, okay, fine. And that's when I first joined 702
mm-hmm.
in, I think, 1991, I think it was. And John taught me one thing, and that was use of characters. And I created a whole load of characters through my career on 702 and on Highveld. One of them was Simpiwe. Mm-hmm. Simpiwe was a taxi driver.
Yeah.
We created another character on 702 called Frikkie Geyser.
Mm-hmm.
Frikkie was he owned a B&B in Midrand. Frikkie never got married. He was always lived with his very, very dear friend, Javi. in the B&B in Midrand. We created an entire family mm-hmm. out of the Sibandas. Because we created a character called Lovemore Sibanda, who worked on the William Nicol off-ramp, selling maps and caps and right. all sorts of things. And we created an entire family of Sibandas mm. who came out of Zimbabwe and worked in South Africa. And the essence behind creating a character on radio is the character can get away with things that you cannot.
Yeah.
The character can say stuff. And you can't, stuff that you can't say.
Yeah.
And we got away with, the Broadcast Complaints Commission had to pass over a lot of stuff that we got away with. Because it wasn't me. Professor, that's.
But ever had to pay a fine?
Simpiwe.
Were you ever found guilty? A 10,000 rand fine?
Once, where I was taken to court by Karika Kresenkamp. And we lost that case.
I see.
But at one stage, close to 60% of all cases that were lodged with the Broadcast Complaints Commission against media in South Africa in general, all media, close to 60% were emanated from my show
I can definitely believe that. And SMS says, I've had the honor of being involved with Jeremy on some good projects. He's the real deal and walks the talk. Love you, Butch. That's Craig Nelson, a.k.a. the Energizer Bunny.
Yes.
All right. And then another one says, I had the honor of listening to the first show of The Rude Awakening and got hooked up to the last. I really loved Jeremy. That's Ben Piri. And they just keep coming. Jeremy, you certainly changed the landscape of radio as much as you'd like to leave that chapter far and way behind you. All of the best with the next chapter.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Act 3, it's coming.
Act 3?
Yes.
Wow. I always think second half, but you're talking about the third act.
Yeah.
All right. That's Jeremy Mansfield for our Friday Profile.